Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Tara Mergener in for David Brody, who will be with you next week again. We begin today with day two of Derek Chauvin's murder trial. The 45-year-old has pleaded not guilty to second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter charges in the death of George Floyd. Floyd was last year in Minneapolis while being arrested for allegedly using a counterfeit bill. Let's get right to Joe Weber, senior writer here at Just the News. Joe, bring us up to speed. A lot, you know, going on here, a lot at stake. This is day two.
Thanks. What we saw today was the return of Ron Williams, the first witness to testify. He was essentially a prosecution witness. He was really the first on the scene once the police arrived. He's a former mixed martial arts expert, former college and high school wrestler. He did very well in the opening testimony for the defense, but when up against the prosecution today, they picked apart a little bit of his testimony. They really tried to get to the fact that he was agitated. 13 times he called the police bums. A couple times he used a little more colorful language, adjectives before that. He also sort of picked apart this idea that he made some false assumptions, particularly one when he saw blood on Floyd's mouth, George Floyd. He assumed that it had happened during the arrest, but already it had blood on his mouth when he was in the police car. So again, made some false assumptions. When they started to challenge him on what he said and what he assumed, he got a little rattled, got angry. And I think that's exactly what the defense wanted to do. And
Thank you, Joe.
One last thing. Yeah, the young woman, the 17-year-old who had the video, the viral video, she was the first one. She testified. They did not show her face or mention her name, but it was clear who she was. She did well, very poised for a 17-year-old woman. The prosecution did well there. The defense, but when the prosecution got to her, far more sympathetic and kid gloves with her, as you
All
would
right.
imagine.
Joe, we're out of time. Thank you so much for that analysis. We'll see you later in the show. Really appreciate that. Okay, now, meantime, some teachers from San Diego are teaching migrant children in person before their own students. Students in the San Diego Unified School District are currently learning in an online format only and expected to move a hybrid model next year. The move has outraged many parents who've been waiting for more than a year now for their kids to be allowed back into the classroom. Migrant children now in person receiving that instruction include some of the 500 who arrived in the city from Texas and Arizona over the weekend. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is facing new sexual harassment allegations now, this time from a woman who claims the governor kissed her without consent and in front of her family. 55-year-old Sherry Ville says it happened when he came to her home to assess flood damage in 2017. There are at least eight women, in addition to Ville, who are accusing Cuomo of sexual harassment or inappropriate behavior. At this point, she is not pressing charges, but she does want to tell her story to investigators. Well, on day one of Derek Chauvin's murder trial, his defense claimed he did exactly what he was trained to do. To provide some analysis, joining us now is former NYPD Police Commissioner Bernie Carrick. Bernie, do you agree with that assessment by the defense?
Well, Tara, I think there's a couple of things you have to look at. First and foremost, what was the department policy on use of force, defensive tactics affecting an arrest? Then you're going to have to look at the laws of the state of Minnesota. And then you're going to have to look at what the officers did. And that evidence will come out. But I think people lose sight of one thing. At the end of the day, the real determination of guilt is going to be what killed George Floyd. Did Chauvin's, knee on his neck kill him? Did his body weight on the back of his on his back kill him? Did he die of a heart attack, a drug ingestion? What really killed him? What did the forensics show? That's going to be the determining factor of Chauvin's guilt or not guilty.
You know, a lot of people do want a murder conviction in this case, but from your point of view as a former police commissioner, what is also at stake for other police in this trial?
Well, look, you have to look at what this case, this investigation, this arrest has done for the entire police community across the country. The aftermath of George Floyd's death, the arrest, the riots, the damage, the devastation, the city destruction, the attacks on cops. This stuff went on for 6 months, 8 months last year. And, this case, I'm sure, well, no matter what the outcome, people are either going to be happy and satisfied or they're not. The unfortunate thing is the, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, no matter what the outcome, to me, I personally think they'll be out there attacking, rioting, and doing all the things they did last year. So this is something that the police environment has to be prepared for and be ready for when the case is over.
How is all this scrutiny against police over the last year or so, how is that affecting, do you think, officers in the ranks? Has it become very difficult to do their job? Are they kind of second-guessing themselves as they go out into the community and try to enforce the law?
Well, I don't think they second-guess themselves. I think they're being second-guessed by a bunch of people that have no idea what their job is. They don't have the courage to do their job. They're being second-guessed by city councils and mayors. The defunding the police, movement emanated out of the George Floyd incident. That's the stuff that's happening around the country. The police know their job. They're well-trained. They go out and do a job that nobody else has the courage to do, and then they're second-guessed at every minute, every second they're out there. I don't think they're second-guessing themselves, but I do think they're being second-guessed by their leadership, by their mayors, by their governors, and they're not being supported in many cases.
Do you think people really understand what defunding the police actually means? What impact would that have on communities if obviously there weren't anybody to enforce the laws? Do they think people get that?
You know what's funny, Tara? It started in Minneapolis, right? They defunded. They voted to defund. It went to L.A. It went to New York City. And already Minneapolis has had to refund their department to get cops back on the job because of the major spikes in crime and murder. Los Angeles just had to do the same thing. All these other departments that have voted to defund, you eliminate manpower, training, resources. You eliminate everything in the department that is responsible for reducing crime, saving lives. Well, if you eliminate that, that's going to change. You're going to see increases in violent crime, shootings, murder, and decreases in economic income, in real estate values, in tourism. So I think city councils and mayors have to make a decision. Do we want what's good for the community or what's bad? And if we want what's good, we're going to have to refund those departments and get the cops back on duty.
I'd like to touch on the immigration situation as well. I just got back myself from the Texas-Mexico border, and I heard law enforcement and different agencies saying over and over there are some really bad people getting through. Your thoughts on that, particularly with the drug cartels?
Well, you have MS-13. A number of them were just arrested. You have about 10 to 15% of the people coming across the southwest border that's not coming from Central America, South America, Mexico. They're coming from other countries, and nobody knows better than I do in the aftermath of 9/11 what happens in this country when bad people get into this country that wants the demise of this country. So I think this is a major national security issue. I think there has to be more transparency. I think the Senate and the Congress, the House, they have to do a better job of stopping this from happening. And I think the president has to do his job, protect America first, stop the influx at the borders, and prevent this national security chaos that's coming out of this.
Do you think President Trump had it right?
Yeah, of course he had it right. He absolutely had it right. I mean, none of this stuff was going on until 60 days ago. None of it. None of this was happening. It was, the borders were secure. Everything was running smoothly. The wall was going up. the outside countries knew, don't send your people in here. And all of a sudden, listen, all you have to do, ask some of the people coming into the country, would you have come under Donald Trump's administration? They will tell you, no, I wasn't coming. I only came because Biden opened the door.
All right, Bernie, interesting situation going on. All eyes on what happens with the fallout here and how this gets under control. Some Biden administration still not calling this a crisis, but a challenge. Thank you so much, Bernie Kerik, former NYPD police commissioner. Thank you so much for being with us.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
President Trump continuing to make headlines, once again issuing this statement, quote, based on their interviews, talking about Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx. The president says, based on their interviews, I felt it was time to speak up about Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, two self-promoters trying to reinvent history to cover for their bad instincts and faulty recommendations, which I fortunately almost always overturned. They had bad policy decisions that would have left our country open to China and others. Closed to reopening our economy and years away for an approved vaccine, putting millions of lives at risk. Obviously slamming them both there, not only them, but other disease as experts as well, accusing them of trying to again reinvent history while talking about their roles in the pandemic during TV interviews. With us now, David Bossie, president of Citizens United and President Trump's former deputy campaign manager. David, great to see you. He says they're self-promoters. What do you think?
I think the president's right on target with this statement. You know, Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci are fighting for relevancy. The American people have seen them for being wrong on virtually everything. And what they do is they go on TV to try and make it about themselves and how they're the heroes. And that's not what people in those positions should be doing. They were wrong on masks. At the beginning, they were wrong on China. They were wrong on closing down America's businesses, and they were wrong on closing schools. They have been wrong on every major policy initiative that has stemmed from COVID. And let's just go back to masks for a second. The first, Dr. Fauci was well known on television saying, we don't need masks for many weeks and months. And now all of a sudden he changes to masks are mandated. Then we got to close down businesses. Then we have to say, you have to wear two masks. One mask isn't enough. You have to wear two masks. This is one of the reasons why the president puts out a statement like this, is to make sure that these bureaucrats who are trying desperately to cling to the relevancy that they really are losing that luster. I think that he wants to make sure the record is very, very clear. If it wasn't for him, 90% of Americans wouldn't be eligible for the vaccine, of American adults wouldn't be eligible for the vaccine before April 19th. Thank you, President Trump. Had nothing to do with Joe Biden or anyone else. And look, getting 200 million vaccines in arms, thank you, Operation Warp Speed, and thank you, President Trump and Vice President Pence. Those are the people who made this happen. Joe Biden is the beneficiary of what Donald Trump and his administration has done. No more, no less. I know they want to take all the credit and say they were given a disaster. No, they were given a vaccine. They were given a vaccine that was already being distributed. And look, their incompetence is covered by the fact that the American people feel very good about getting the vaccine. That is the responsibility of President Trump.
You know, during President Biden's speech yesterday, he's asking governors to reinstate mask mandates where they have been lifted. One, do you think they're going to do it, like Governor Abbott, perhaps? Or, you know, and the other thing, too, is he used words like impending doom. Is that helpful?
Well, certainly not. And I can just speak from the record that I've seen. Governor Abbott removed the mask mandate, and every day for the last 2 to 3 weeks, I believe, the numbers of COVID cases after the mask mandate was lifted have gone down in Texas. There's no way that any governor who wants to get reelected is going to go back to these draconian measures that don't have the backing of science. And that's what these left-wing, you know, really out there folks are demanding. Must follow the science, must follow science. And then as soon as the science doesn't match up with their ideology, their left-wing ideology, they say, oh, no, we have to go back to masks because it's the right thing. No governor should do that. And look, you look at Kristi Noem as an example, never had a mask mandate. And she leads her state by, you know, just an incredible position of strength and leadership there. Ron DeSantis got rid of most of it early on in Florida, or as early as he could. And Florida is now thriving. People are leaving all over the country from California and New York to go to Florida. So some of these governors are doing a tremendous job, and they're doing the exact opposite of what Fauci and Biden are demanding that the American people succumb to. It's ridiculous.
Talk to me about the vaccine passports. There seems to be growing concern, not just among Republican politicians, but, you know, as I hear the general scuttlebutt in general, a lot of, you know, friends, colleagues, there's a lot of talk about this. And what does this really mean? Because the concern is it could kind of force people to take the vaccine because maybe they can't get anywhere if they don't.
Yeah, this is a dangerous, slippery slope for America. We don't have papers that people must carry on them to show proof of anything in this country. We have freedom and we have liberty. We have the Constitution. And I would believe that if the government, the federal government, tries to mandate this, you will see state's attorneys general band together to sue the federal government immediately to stay that order and then fight it and win it in court, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. We don't have police officers say, papers, please. It's just, it brings back the notion of very dark times in the world, and we don't ever want to go there. People should be able to get the vaccine, okay? I've already had COVID, and I will get, you know, my shot when my time comes. When it's eligible for me to receive it, I will go get it. I have no problem doing that. I think it's a proper and the right thing to do. But people should be able to choose whether they get it or not and when they get it. I didn't want to get COVID, but I did. And I got a mild case, thankfully, and I was able to recover in a month or so. But not everybody has that same luck. We take this is a very serious disease, and it is, and people need to take it seriously. And I'm not trying to say people shouldn't get vaccinated, but to jump from people should get vaccinated and we should enthusiastically try to get people to get vaccinated is different than get your papers, please. That we are crossing a Rubicon that I never thought we would be discussing here in America. When Donald Trump said during the campaign, "I will never let America become a socialist nation," this is what he was talking about.
Certainly all eyes on this, definitely a lot of scuttlebutt on this, and a lot of people will be debating this certainly in the days to come. Thank you, David Bossy, president of Citizens United. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me.
All right, when we come back, Myra Flores, congressional candidate, Democrat turned Republican.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Now, the Rio Grande Valley, as you've been hearing, is the epicenter of illegal immigration in this country. More people come into the U.S. with the help of smugglers here than anywhere in the United States. Myra Flores, a former Democrat who voted for Obama, has become one of the most vocal critics of Joe Biden's immigration policies in the Rio Grande Valley. She is running now as a Republican for Congress. Myra, you have a very interesting perspective on this, including the fact that your husband is a Border Patrol agent. What is it? We had a lot of time to chat last week. What is it that bothers you so much about what you see happening there? And are the majority of those who come here illegally really being sent back as Joe Biden says they are?
No, unfortunately, it's not true. They're not being sent back. They're actually staying here. And that's the problem that we have right now. It's a real border crisis. In the Donna facility right now, we have over 5,000 people there. It's supposed to have no more than 250, and we have over 5,000. It's a real border crisis that they have created. This is all on the Democrat Party and the Biden administration. He created this crisis.
Do you see a difference there now, living there? You are from there, you know, for a very long time you've lived there. Do you see a difference of what's going on between President Trump's policies and since the switch was made after Inauguration Day in 2021?
Absolutely. I've never seen this before, not even during the Obama's administration. Now, there's a lot of things that happened during the Obama administration I didn't agree, but this is something we've never seen in South Texas. We've never seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming in and being encouraged to come in. You know, the Biden administration is saying, don't come, but if you do, you get to stay. Pretty much that's the message. And his policies are creating people to make this dangerous, dangerous journey. You have thousands of children coming in without their parents, you know, and that is causing, like I said, a real border crisis that I've never seen before here in South Texas. And our Border Patrol agents have never seen nothing like this as well. And I know that I'm a Border Patrol wife. I know the struggle. My husband is very private. He doesn't bring his job home. You know, he doesn't want to worry me. He doesn't want to worry the kids. But at the same time, I know exactly what's happening. He doesn't have to tell me. I see it every day.
And that's why you decided to run for Congress. You know, do you really think with a Democratic president, if Democratic Congress, do you really think that a difference can be made? A lot of conservatives and Republicans are feeling pretty frustrated right now because, you know, people don't know if they don't agree with these policies. What can they really do? The midterms are 2 years away. With your thoughts?
Well, we saw a huge impact in the Republican Party here in South Texas in 2020. We did flip dark blue districts to, not districts, I'm sorry, counties to red. So we saw a momentum. We saw more people voting Republican. We saw a 20-point difference compared to previous years. So, no, this momentum isn't stopping. Like I said before, and like I told you a few days ago, South Texas by nature is conservative. We just need to get the message out there to more people. And that's what we have been doing, and we'll continue doing that. Get the message that the Republican Party is the conservative party, the only conservative party, and the party that will bring economic prosperity to South Texas. We need it. Like I told you, we have one of the highest poverty rates in South Texas throughout the United States. And we also have a high unemployment rate as well. And I want to bring prosperity here in South Texas. And the people here in South Texas are always very, very giving. They're always thinking about the well-being of others. And I've been talking to the community and I've been telling them, for once, we have to put South Texas first. We have to put our district first, our children's future, our children's needs, our family's needs. We have to put ourselves first to be able to help other people outside our country.
You're definitely seeing the impact in the Rio Grande Valley, among other things. We've talked about this earlier in the show as well. There was still a pandemic going on. And we do know for a fact that COVID, many of them, people testing positive for COVID, the migrants, we've seen them being dropped off at local hotels. How much concern is there in the Rio Grande Valley? And even beyond that, they are leaving very quickly after going to those hotels. Do the people in the Rio Grande Valley feel very concerned that this is passing through their community? Tell me about that.
Yes, we're very concerned. The Bronzeville area, not too long ago, 200 people were released COVID positive. There's nothing we can do to stop them. We advise them to stay at a hotel, but there's nothing forcing them to do it. Some will stay at a hotel, which taxpayers are paying that, but some just want to leave, and they get to do that. They get to leave, exposing more people in the bus, in the airport as well.
Right. Do you think people who have not seen this firsthand really understand the magnitude of what's going on down there? I've seen it myself a number of times from 2018 and to now. And every time I go, I come back and I talk to people, but I just feel like unless you've actually seen it for yourself and you've seen the constantness of the stream into the United States, I'm not sure people really understand. Do you think they do?
No, they don't understand. Like you said, they have to come down here to South Texas so they're able to understand. I don't understand how Biden administration is not here. I don't understand how Biden is not here, how the vice president is not here, so they can see for themselves the real crisis we have. You know, we're being ignored. They just don't care what we're going through, what our Border Patrol agents are going through, what our Border Patrol families are going through. You know, it's just, they really do owe an apology to South Texas.
In one word, Myra, running out of time, Border Patrol, you hear, you know, a little bit about it, at least from your husband. In one word, what is the morale among the Border Patrol?
I've never seen anything like that. Never seen anything like that. He, like I said, he doesn't talk a lot about it, but I can tell in his attitude and also just in his character. And I have also family that are in Border Patrol. I have big law enforcement family, and I've never seen them so down.
Very difficult.
They're there to enforce the law, and they're not able to.
All right, Myra, thank you so much for joining
us.
All the best to you. We'll see you next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
There is a new grassroots women's movement on the road right now with a message to other women. Preserve the nation for your children. Chrissy Hutcherson is a mother of twins and a businesswoman, and she is out there trying to reach women and evangelicals. Chrissy Hutcherson is here now. Chrissy, I met you along the border last week where we were chatting with Border Patrol and they were trying to get us to stay back. I will say you are a force to be reckoned with.
Hi, thank you so much, Tara.
You are going all over the country. Again, your target primarily women. What is this movement all about?
Well, Women's Fighting for America started about to expose, educate, activate, and mobilize so we can take back this nation that we love.
Yes. And you started, right? You started during the presidential campaign in 2020. And tell me where you're going. I believe you're in California now. I saw you in Texas last week. You know, give me a picture of what this looks like, right? And a rally in Laredo just over the weekend.
Yeah, the rally was super successful. It was the ending of a 3-week tour along the border. We're in California right now, and we're exposing a news story that's coming out, we have learned that they are housing a bunch of the illegals, the children in the convention center, and they're taking teachers, busing them in to teach these children live in person. Well, the schools are closed down and the teachers won't teach our children in person.
And you're talking about San Diego, California?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, that is definitely out there today. They've been out of school for over a year now, so certainly a lot of controversy around that. You know, one of the things, Christy, we're both covering the border, and the thing that stood out to me most from this trip over previous ones I have taken is that the media has really been cut off. We were not able to get Border Patrol assistance despite numerous attempts, even before the trip, to be able to talk to them, to get them to take us down to the river and actually see what's happening. Why do you think we're not being allowed to work with Border Patrol anymore? And do you think that it's working to keep the media away?
I don't think it's working to keep the media away. However, I've been privileged enough to not only be with the sheriffs on these border towns who have personally taken me to the river, to the borders, to show me what's really going on. The Border Patrol will talk to you off camera, but they have orders to stand down.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing as well. Yeah, so, you know, your movement, as it continues, where are you going next? And tell me about the response that you're getting from the people that you're targeting, the women.
You know, every single day I see messages coming into me, please don't stop doing what you're doing. We are praying for you. And it's not only individuals from inside the United States, but it's from other countries. They're watching us.
What concerns
we are you, going to
pardon sorry. Me continue. I was just wondering what concerns you most now over all the things that are you're out there talking to the communities about. What are you most worried about at this point?
Well, the narrative that the left is telling the world that this isn't a crisis, that this isn't a problem, is false. We have sex trafficking. We have human smuggling. We have rape trees. We have exploitation of children. The list goes on and on. The drug cartels, make no mistake, they run the border town. You don't get across the border without paying the drug cartels.
Right. Several thousand dollars apiece in most cases. Right. You know, as we get through this, one of the big questions is the pandemic is still raging. There was a lot of talk at the border about what happens when people test positive for COVID. So we know because they've told us that many of them are being taken to local hotels. What have you found out about whether they're leaving for other communities and how soon after they test positive for COVID?
Well, regardless whether they test positive for COVID or not, there is not enough manpower to monitor them. For example, there's a Roadway Inn hotel in Texas where it's filled up with illegals. They are the ones who tested positive. There's nobody there to keep them in the room. They have free rein. They're being bussed in by the droves to other towns and cities and let go. We have a major problem on our hands.
Where do you see this going? There does not seem to be any talk from the Biden administration of, not that I've heard, that anything is going to change anytime soon. So if you've got 100,000, which my understanding is in the Rio Grande Valley, came over in February, that's only the Rio Grande Valley, and it is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what happens from here if nothing is done to stem the flow?
We are going to have a national emergency on our hands. They do not care. The administration does not care. This is purposeful. If they wanted to protect the American people, the borders would be secure. This would not be going on.
Why do you think it continues? Why do you think nothing is being done? Why
it's
not
political.
Just put some,
And it's about 22. It's about votes.
You know, no, there's no question. There are conservative women like yourself who feel a little overwhelmed by this. I can see you're out there trying to turn back the tide, but there are those who feel like there is no turning back. A Democratic president, a Democratic Congress, there's no desire for bipartisanship, seemingly, and a lot of executive orders. You know, what is your message to women quickly who do not agree with liberal policies at this point? What can people do?
We need to band together like never before. We're not going to have the government save us. It's going to take we the people to rise up, locking arms in unity, one voice, one light, one truth. We're going to be doing a We the People tour, and we need everybody to go get involved, volunteer, roll up your sleeves. We're going to teach you how to activate your community. Yeah.
All right. Christy Hutcherson, thank you so much for joining us. Keep us posted on your travels. Have a great day. And we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, some more numbers for you. The Biden administration projecting the number of unaccompanied children crossing the border could spiral from more than 16,000 this month up to 26,000 next month. That is according to documents leaked to Axios. To put that in perspective, the record was about 11,500. This trend expected to continue for months, by the way. Meanwhile, concern about the overall number continues. Let's bring in today's poll of the day.
The water cooler. Poll of the day.
All right, a new Rasmussen poll saying that 44% of those who enter illegally should be arrested and deported. 13% think they should be released pending a court hearing. 25% think they should be released and given a path to lawful residency or citizenship, and 8% want them held pending court dates, and only 10% are not sure what should happen at all. Let's bring back Joe Weber, senior writer here at Just the News. Joe, what do you make of those numbers?
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting to me. You can understand why 44% might want them arrested and deported, and the other 8% want them detained. But the 25% that says they should be released and into the public to provide a path to citizenship or at least residence, I find that probably the most interesting number. Everybody wants a fair, humane immigration system. And here in the United States, when someone gets arrested, if you don't commit a serious crime, there's the bail system where you just get released on your own recognizance. You go into the community because you have a job, you have a family. It's really no point in you trying to be on the run because you can't earn a living and stuff like that. But to send someone who has not moored to the community at all into the country, it seems a little difficult or just surprising that folks would be just kind of 25% of the 1,200 people registered voters that Scott Rasmussen, our exclusive pollster, found that they'd be okay with that.
Yeah. All right, Joe, appreciate the analysis. But quickly, do you think that the numbers will shoot up for the people who, you know, want them sent home as this crisis goes on quickly?
I think what you're going to find out is that we find more and more people who are infected with COVID, more and more people getting arrested, who had criminal records elsewhere, that the polls numbers will change. Yes, I think that's going to see the trend. That's going to be the trend you'll see.
All right, Joe Weber, senior writer again here at Just the News. We always appreciate your time and your analysis. We will be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. but you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler. It is the end of the show, almost, and joining me now is Anna Perez for Real America's Voice correspondent. Wow, something in the news that is catching a ton of attention. Migrant children in San Diego who are just flying in to the city are getting in-person instruction, some of them, from teachers volunteering to help them as they come into the city. What is this all about?
That's right. So right now, San Diego teachers have the option to volunteer teaching migrant children who, as you said, have just flown over to San Diego to receive this education. And I think the interesting part here is that in San Diego right now, students are not allowed in schools for in-person learning. So the concern here is, you know, from a lot of the parents and even the superintendent has spoken out against this, even for people who agree with helping, you know, migrant children, it's they're saying, well, this is a great program, but you know, what about our kids? They are not able to receive in-person education. And, you know, the argument there is, well, if this is truly about COVID safety, why is it any safer to teach migrant children?
That's an interesting question. Definitely. Do you know, you know, I would imagine a lot of parents are pretty upset if their kids have been home all this time, because are there even any plans to bring them back to school at this point? I've heard maybe some hybrid education.
Yeah, that's likely going to be the next step. I don't see it being an actually in-person in-person learning full-time as the next step. I think they're definitely going to bring it in hybrid style. But I think right now, yeah, a lot of backlash we're seeing from parents who, you know, reasonably are saying, you know, this is not really fair to be spending resources even on migrant children who, you know, they're not even American citizens. We seem to be treating them better than our own citizens, you know, and that seems to be a trend right now under the Biden administration, under a lot of these far-left policies in states like California and New York, where, or Texas, I mean, where these policies are actually benefiting illegal immigrants over American citizens.
All right, quickly, have any of these teachers volunteered to help maybe tutor some of the kids who are actually residents of that community?
Well, we have yet to hear on what the teachers will do in response to this as far as with the actual citizen children. But we do know that they have a few have stepped up in wanting to help the migrant children. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of response they get or if there's going to be any backlash and any teachers who do step up and say, no, I also want to help the American citizen children. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to hear what the next step is for that.
Certainly not the last we have heard of this. Right. Anna Perez, thank you for joining us this afternoon. And
thank you.
You are so welcome. And thank you so much for joining us. We will see you back here tomorrow. On the show tomorrow, Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia. By the way, we'll see you then. Ken Cuccinelli will be with us.